We are here with Timo Cotapelto of Stradivarius. And Timo, great to have you on the show yet again this year. And talk a bit about the new album, Nemesis. Talk about what the band currently has going on right now.
Well, right now, of course, we are promoting the new album, Nemesis, which is supposed to be out next month, late next month. I don't know what's the exact date for the U.S., but in Europe, it's February 22nd. And, of course, last year, we've been kind of a busy... basically since June when we got the new drummer in, Rolf Bilbe, and then of course we've been composing new songs, and then we did also some summer festivals in Europe, but also of course we spent I think like 4 months to record and mix the album, so you would say that we've been a bit busy, but that's the way it goes. And now of course there's promotion, and then there's going to be more touring coming up, so a lot of things.
So what kind of touring you guys have going on? I mean, you got any plans to tour, and talk a bit about that.
We're going to start in Europe March 8th, and then we're going to play some shows in Finland, and then also some dates in Russia. I think it was like Moscow and St. Petersburg. And then the final European tour will start from Germany, from München, March 22nd, and then we have two bands on the tour with us, Swedish guys called Amaranthi, and then American band called, I think, Seven Kingdoms. And that's going to be like 4 weeks, then more shows in Finland, and the plan is to go to South America in May. And then, of course, it's already summer and so the festival season, so that's the plan so far.
It's interesting that you talk about Russia, Timo, because many people just don't pay attention to Russia. And, you know, what's the fan base like over there for metal?
We've been there playing, like, since 10 years ago or something. It's pretty good. Normally, it's very often only, you know, two shows like St. Petersburg and Moscow, at least for our band. But on the last tour, we were touring with Helloween, and then we played also... close to this Black Sea, some cities I've never been before too, but that was great. The metalheads are over there, you know, like any other metalhead, you know, anywhere else. Very, very, very nice people and nice crowd, so it's good to go back.
Well, I have to tell you, Timo, that every album that you put out with this new lineup, with the new lineup, the last couple albums have been very good, but, you know, listening to Nemesis, I think that to me, it's just... I don't know what it is, but I think you guys are just gelling as a band songwriting-wise. And for you as a musician and obviously taking part in recording this record, what are some of the biggest differences between this album and the last two albums you guys have put out?
Well, I would say that, of course, the biggest... There's like two big differences. I think the biggest is, of course, that we have a new drummer and his Rolf's playing style is a bit different compared to our old drummer, Jörg. I think Jörg was more like sort of... John Bonham style, you know, like rock drummer and show drummer, and I would say that Rolf is like more modern and technical metal drummer. But also I think the new album is a bit more darker and maybe more modern sounding Stradivarius album compared to the last two. There's especially the rhythm guitars are like they're heavier, and also there's some new keyboard sounds on the album, so there's, I would say, it's like kind of a update of Stradivarius sound, and it's what Stradivarius are 2013. And also this time it was our guitar player Matias Kupiainen who mixed all of the songs, the whole album, and he produced the album himself. And last time he mixed half the songs, but then again when we did Elysium we were in a hurry because we were already confirmed for the Helloween tour, so we didn't have enough time for the last album. But for this one we had all the time needed, and I think you can hear it on the album. The sound is a little bit more modern, let's put it this way.
Well, I have to say that you guys have put out three really good records with your new guitar player, and a lot of people, there were a lot of skeptics out there that didn't think that Stradivarius would survive without Timo Tolki in the band, and in my opinion, they're wrong, and the fact that you are successful, you know, proves a lot of people wrong. And, you know, did you think Matthias would be that big, have that big of an impact on the band early on?
I think we didn't really know what to expect. It's like the same thing, you know. You just know that this guy is like a brilliant player, but then, of course, I knew that he's also producing some stuff, but I think I didn't expect that he would be this good in producing power metal. So we've been kind of... I would say that we are lucky with this guy. He's awesome guitar player, but also now he has proven to be a very good producer as well. And it's very, very easy for me to work with him, because especially for a singer, it's very important that there's a dude who's like producing your vocals in the right way, pushing you to extreme when it's needed, but also like understanding your vocal range and what you can do with your voice. So with Matthias, it's been very, very easy.
But what about your new guitar player? Because, you know, when I watch a DVD and I watch how great the band sounds live, it's just a whole different vibe for you guys. And to me, it just seems that the band kind of just found itself again. And you guys have put out some great records with this. And when Matthias joined the band, you know, everybody was skeptical, obviously, as I stated before. And, you know, it seems to be really working out very well for Stradivarius right now.
I agree. I mean, like I said, we've been kind of lucky with this guy. And what is so good about this guy is, like, when he joined the band, of course, he was, like, very fluent when it comes to playing solos, and he's very versatile compared to the old guitar player. But now he's been, like, just improving what comes to rhythm patterns, and, you know, he has changed some of his, like, picking techniques, and he's so hard-working dude that, I don't know, I mean, if it's possible to get better than what he is right now, but he's really working on that, so it just fits to our band, and of course, I mean, when he joined the band, he hadn't done so many gigs, but then, of course, since 2009, we've been touring a lot, so now everything feels so much more comfortable, you know.
Now, you lost Jörg Michael in the band. Obviously, he's leaving the band, and you ended up getting another drummer. But, you know, talk a little bit about Jörg Michael's tenure in the band. I mean, obviously, you were very successful with him. He was a very good drummer. And just talk about some memories that you have in him being with Stradivarius, and talk about Jörg Michael as a drummer.
Yeah, it's been a long ride. First of all, I think he's, like, the hardest-hitting drummer I've ever worked with, and I've been with quite many very good drummers, but whenever he's hitting the snare drum, all the hits are like they are like rim shots, so it's very, very loud. His snare sometimes even so loud that we didn't have to mic it when we were playing some places. So I mean, he's a show drummer character, and I think he has his own playing style. And like you said, I mean, we didn't have any drama or anything. We are still very good friends. And what is good about Jörg, he's still, even though he's not in the band, but he's working for the band, he's still working in the booking agency. And he's basically booking most of our shows. And also working in the management a little bit. So he's still there, you know. And that's a good thing, because when he's been in the band so many years, so he knows what the band is all about and how we work, and we completely trust the dude. So it's still going on, the cooperation with Jörg, so it's just nice.
Now, talk a bit about the album. It's got a really cool cover. The album is called Nemesis, and tell the fans what this album is all about.
Well, it's not a theme album or concept album. It's just, actually, Matthias came up with the name last August when we were returning from one summer festival in Spain, and then suddenly we were eating some breakfast at Madrid airport, Barajas, and then I just got a SMM from him, and there was only one word, Nemesis, and then I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I asked him, so what's this now? Then he said, yeah, that's the title, and then, well, it just worked out that everybody was like, all right, that sounds cool. And I don't know if it's a coincidence, but very often in Stradivarius, it's like we've been having like these album titles with only one word on it, but also what is a bit strange, very often there's seven letters in a title, so it's like Visions episode, Polaris, Elysium, and now we have Nemesis. So I don't know, maybe that's a sign. maybe that's our thing. But the cover itself is like done by the same guy who did Polaris and Elysium. Hungarian dude, I think, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, his name correctly, but I think it's something like Gyula Havanchuk. Sorry if I didn't know how to say it, but something like that. And he's a very, talented guy, and Jens was in contact with him, and I think this is how he sees Nemesis. To me, this cover is not only about, you know, like the angel of revenge, but it's more like that she's bringing justice to people, and the way I see it is like, maybe us humans, maybe we haven't been treating our planet Earth that nicely, so probably that's why she's punishing us, so... But let's see what happens with the next album if human race is still around. But what about the music? It's like everybody is composing in the band. Not the new drummer yet, but he might be for the next album. So we have a lot of input. And what is good thing about this is like, of course, if somebody in the band would have like a writer's block, then of course everybody else should wait. Like, hey, there's nothing coming. Hey, more songs, but now it's like everybody's, you know, composing, so it's like sort of easy, and then we make demos, and then we kind of democratically, you know, vote for which songs should be on the album, but it looks like it works for our band, you know. Of course, there's most of the bands, they have like one or two guys who are like, you know, leaders of the band, but then in our case, it's like everybody, you know, can say their opinion, and that's the way we work right now. It wasn't like this in the past, but now it is, and so far it looks like it's working.
Have you planned on possibly putting out another Coda Pelto solo album anytime soon?
Well, not right now. I did the first three because back in the days I couldn't really compose for Stratovarius because it was only Timo Tolki who wanted to basically compose all of the songs. And that is the reason why I started doing these solo albums. But right now, because the situation is that if I have a song, I can present the song for the band, and if they like it, it might end up on the album. Like, there's two songs which are co-composed by me on the new one. But then again, I think I still have one option left with the record label, so I might do it, but right now I don't have any songs that might be suitable. I've been composing some songs with Jani Liimatainen lately, but I don't know if there's going to be... For Koti Pelto, there's going to be something else coming up. But right now, of course, it looks like I'm going to be a bit busy with Stratovarius, so probably no time to do anything.
Now, one of the songs, and I'm going to bring up the last album that you put out called Elysium, one of the songs I loved, and it's actually one of my favorite Stratovarius songs that I have ever heard. It's called Infernal Maze. And what did you decide to write the lyrics of that song about?
First of all, I think that was like when I heard the first demo that Matthias came up, he composed the music, I was like, aha, that's a bit progressive stuff you are coming up with. But I like the song as well. It's like there's different layers to me what comes to music, and it's like the way Matthias is like composing, it's a bit different to what most of the guys in the band are composing, because very often in Matthias' songs there's only one verse, one bridge, and then chorus, and then very long solo parts. So then, of course, normally it would be like there should be like two verses or maybe three verses, but in his case, it's like it's just more about, you know, that there's a vocal melody and then a lot of space for brilliant solos. And then, of course, that's sort of demanding that you can't really like build up a long story about anything, because then it has to be just lyrics that fit to some certain mood of mind and to that particular song. So I think Infernal Maze is, if I remember it correctly, it's about like, well, basically about how I felt, you know, that there's like, of course it's been a while since I sang the song last time, so I have to try to remember the lyrics, which I of course don't do right now, but I should have them in front of me, then I could explain it more clearly, but right now I don't have it, but I'll explain it next time.
Ian Lukasin of Arion is actually probably my favorite musician of all time, and what was it like for you to sing on the Arion album Flight of the Migrator, because you did sing on a track on that record, and what was it like to work with him?
Very easy. He's very cool and a very nice guy, and of course a very talented composer. I flew down to Holland, and when was it? Well, quite many years ago, but we recorded the vocals in his studio, which is like on his yard, it, like some, I don't know, some stable or whatever, but it's very nicely built. And I think it took only like 1 or 2 hours to record the vocals, if I remember. But it, yeah, he's a very nice guy and very, very nice to work with him. So it would be nice to do something in the future as well.
Well, I'd love to hear you do something else with Ian Lucas and with Arianne, because that would be great. And do you guys plan on coming to the U.S. for your upcoming tour?
Of course, a lot of people have been asking us about this, but right now, I hope that we could do some touring in the autumn, but let's see, because it looks like it's getting harder and harder for foreign bands to come to the U.S. because of all the working visas are so expensive, and then there's bureaucracy stuff that needs to be settled. And I even heard yesterday from somebody that it's like you have to hire a lawyer to fix all these papers. And it wasn't this difficult in the past, but let's see how it is. And of course, we have to see how the album is doing. If people like it, then, I mean, it would be possible. And I would like to come back here, because I really like touring in the U.S., so it would be nice.
Now, are there any places that you haven't played that you would love to go play in? Any countries, any places?
We've never been to Australia. We've been basically almost everywhere else. We've been to Asia and Japan and so on, but I've never been to Australia, not even on a holiday, but I'd like to go and play some shows over there, or New Zealand or someplace like this. But it's been like kind of a nice to be in this band and tour all over the world. And sometimes it's like, right now we're going to have this South American tour coming up. So right now it looks like there's going to be basically the same countries like in the past. But then again, there might be some new country coming up. And that's always a pleasant surprise. Like, you go to a new town and you don't even have a clue if people know your songs. And then suddenly there's like 500 or 5,000 people who sing along. And then you're like surprised. Aha! You know our music, that's great. So sometimes it happens, there's a new country, but I think we've been to, I don't know, maybe to 50 countries in the past already, so there's not so many left anymore, probably, who like this kind of music. So, but like I said, Australia, that'd be nice.
Yeah, Australia has kind of a cool metal scene down there, from what I hear, believe it or not.
Uh-huh, okay.
So you have your own in-house producer, as far as your new guitar player goes, and you know, what's the vibe in this band like? If you had to compare it to Stradivarius of the past, because you've been in a band since the mid-90s, you know, how would you compare the vibe of the band now as opposed to how the band was before the current lineup that you have right now?
Well, to be honest, it feels like this is like sort of our third album. Of course, it's the third album with Matthias and Lauri in the band, and I think I've been on 11 albums, so it depends how you count. If you count intermission, then it's like 12 albums. And then, of course, Jens just arrived. Hey, shut up, I'm doing an interview here. So, what I was saying, the feeling in the band is like better than for many, many years, and I haven't been this excited about the new album since, I don't know, since Infinite or something. And it seems to me that, you know, we've been doing this promotion in Germany, Spain, France, and now in New York. So it seems to me that all of the journalists really like the album, and that's something new to me, because it's like sometimes if you're lucky, some people like it, and then, of course, some people don't say anything, which is like, okay, this guy probably doesn't like our music that much. But now it's like, it looks like people really like it, so I'm very excited about the new album.
Well, for my last question, Timo, as I end all of my interviews off, do you have any last words to say to the fans that are going to be checking out this interview tonight?
Well, first of all, I do hope that you guys check out the new album, and if you like it, hopefully we can do some touring even this year, and then come to see us playing live, and that's basically all. Thanks a lot for all the support.